We're continuing with our series on Nehemiah, and this morning we're looking at dealing with criticism and discouragement. I'm going to read the whole of chapter 4 of Nehemiah. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the labourers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall, at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armour. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." We've already learnt that Nehemiah was a leader of the Jewish people, that they had returned to Israel from exile in Babylon, and that they needed to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem to be secure from their enemies. When they first started on the wall, they were enthusiastic, but after working for a while, they got discouraged. They built the wall up to half its height, but then the Jews who lived near them came and told them over and over again that "wherever you turn, our enemies will attack us." This story shows why people become discouraged and how we can overcome our discouragement. Nehemiah shows us what to do when we feel like giving up. But first of all, why did they become discouraged? First of all, fatigue. Have you ever painted a room? You get excited choosing the colours. You get the room ready with enthusiasm. You start painting with energy. You stop for a coffee a third of the way through. And then as you pick up the brush again, your arms start to ache and you notice the drops of paint on the floor and on your clothes and you reckon you're not even halfway through the job. The light begins to fade and you begin to feel weary. You look around at how much you still have to do and remember that even when you've finished, you still have to clear up. And discouragement sets in. Fatigue is the number one cause of discouragement. That's why we leave so many things half finished, incomplete, and undone. The next one is frustration. When we've seen the devastation in Ukraine or in Turkey, Syria, and Sudan, I sometimes think, where do they begin to rebuild? That's how Nehemiah's workforce felt. The people said, there's so much rubble that we cannot build the wall. They were not only fatigued, they were now frustrated. They were trying to build a new wall, but around them were the old broken rocks, the debris and mortar. The rubble caused discouragement. They lost sight of their goal because they were distracted by the rubble. Whenever we focus on the rubble instead of our objective, we will get discouraged. And then there's failure. People get discouraged because they listen to demotivators. In verse 10 it says, the people said, we cannot rebuild the wall. Think about that. Who said, we cannot rebuild the wall? Someone had to have set them off first. It's unlikely they all suddenly cried out together, we cannot rebuild the wall. Someone must have stood up and used the royal we, and others joined in and began to say the same thing. They felt they'd failed, and pretty soon it became true. Because they couldn't finish their task as quickly as they had originally planned, they lost heart and their confidence drained away. It only takes one demotivator to destroy the morale of a team. Get a group of them together and cynicism and despair are inevitable. The fact is, it wasn't true. They could rebuild the wall. It wasn't a question of ability, but motivation. How do you handle failure in your life? Do you say, woe is me, I can't get this job done? Do you start complaining? It's impossible. I was a fool to even try. It's stupid. Or do you blame other people? Everyone else let me down. They didn't do their part of the job. The difference between winners and losers is that winners see failure as a temporary inconvenience. Failure doesn't have to be terminal. It can be a learning opportunity. And finally, there's fear. In verse 11, it says, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. A wall around the city represented safety and defence, so their enemies didn't want the wall to be finished. They first criticised, then ridiculed, then threatened the Jews. We're going to kill you if you keep on building the wall. Notice who it was that got discouraged. It was the Jews who lived near the enemy. Then they discouraged others by saying, wherever you turn, they will attack us. When you have negative people around you long enough, you become convinced they're right. If you hear someone repeatedly say, it can't be done, you'll fail, you're wasting your time, pretty soon you'll believe them. They suffered from the fear of failure. They were discouraged. So what is the antidote to discouragement? What did Nehemiah do? As a wise leader, Nehemiah assessed the situation and took action to correct the causes of their discouragement. And we can do the same. When you feel discouraged to the point of giving up, you can do three things to remedy the situation. Remember, reorganise, and resist. Remember, they turned to their Lord. Nehemiah said, "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome.'" Nehemiah pointed people to the might and faithfulness of God. What does it mean to remember the Lord? It means to remember his character, remember his faithfulness, remember his promises, remember he has adopted you into his family, remember he is with you. Then recommit yourself to him and to his family. What is God doing in your life right now? Whether you feel him or not, he is with you. He promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." He will give you strength for your needs. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "I can do everything through Christ because he strengthens me." Secondly, reorganize. They prioritized their work. Nehemiah said, "Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows." Nehemiah prioritised those parts of the wall where they were most vulnerable, where the wall was lowest and the people most exposed. Nehemiah encouraged them to be strategic in allocating their resources. They strengthened the defences where most needed. He prioritised. He also organised the workers by families. He got them building the walls near their homes. And they worked in teams, some labouring, some defending. There was ownership, collaboration, partnership. As a result, they were encouraged to complete the task. When you get discouraged, what do you do? What should you do? Pray intelligently, think strategically, avoid critics, and find like-minded believers. Ask yourself, what are my priorities, and who can help me? And if necessary, change your schedule, reorganize your time, balance your diary between work, rest, and play. And above all, never lose sight of your goals. What was Nehemiah's objective? Build the wall. Nehemiah did this by creating teams and sharing roles. Why did he do this? Because he knew that the discouraged needed support, and they could give it to one another if they focused on their objective and didn't listen to the voice of their enemy. We too need a hand to lift us up when we're down. That's why we encourage our congregation to get to know our friends at the other Birkdale churches. It's more fun to work together. The antidote to discouragement? Remember, they turned to their Lord. Reorganise, they prioritised their work. And finally, resist. They defended their families. In verse 14 it says, "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your people, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." Nehemiah encouraged them to help one another. He did so in several strategic ways. "From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armour. The officers posted themselves behind all the people who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Half the people were assigned to watch the backs of their neighbours while they worked. Half rested while the other half worked. And the leaders posted themselves behind the people building the wall. The leaders led by example. They defended the workers, watching their backs in case of trouble. To increase their solidarity with one another, Nehemiah added, "Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us.'" The people knew that if an attack came, the trumpet would sound and bring help to defend them and their loved ones. Nehemiah organized them into teams based around families who took turns at working and protecting one another. Nehemiah's strategy worked. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. The very people who had earlier cried, "We can't rebuild the wall," completed the work. How? Because they remembered the Lord, because they prioritized their work, because they defended their families. Today, the work is not just that of building churches or facilities. Our work is also that of building up the lives of people spiritually. God wants us, his people today, to rise up and build his kingdom. In the same way that God stirred up the hearts of the Jews through Nehemiah to work together to build the walls of Jerusalem, he speaks to us through his word to put our hands and hearts to his work. Here in Birkdale, the work of building God's kingdom goes on through our links with the other Birkdale churches. By getting to know each other better and keeping up an ongoing communication with each other, we can support and encourage each other and work together to spread the gospel. Nehemiah knew the importance of prayer and of working together to achieve the goal. We can apply those same principles to our work here in Birkdale. Let's build God's kingdom just as Nehemiah built the wall, one prayerful brick at a time. Amen.